Man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man.
You know, it's one thing I get told that, see, I'm doing it already. The episode just fucking started. I touch my face a lot on the podcast. I didn't notice that.
Have people said you do that? People told you to do that?
I got a text message telling me that. And I was like, yeah, I do? Oh, man, I didn't even think I did that. But I guess I do.
Oh, no. Well, people who listen can't tell. But people who watch on YouTube, they can tell.
Absolutely. That's what a premium content is.
You know what's funny is I was just about to say the thing that I noticed that I do on the podcast a lot is I say, and literally before I was about to say it, I went, I was like, to prepare to say, I say, a lot, which annoys the shit out of me when I listen back to the podcast. I just, I can't stand it. I try not to say, when I don't have anything to say, but I do it every time. I'm doing my best. I'm sorry, everyone.
I do, but,
we should put out a shirt. We should put out a shirt that's our faces from our avatars and with talking bubbles, and I'm just saying and you're saying but that should be our first piece of merch.
Yeah. I would buy it.
Hey, comment below if you'd buy that shirt. It's a really smart idea that I just came up with. We'll make
a flower emoji and a money bag emoji, and it would be me.
Yeah. Flower bags.
Flower bags.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah. We should just start releasing our merch. Should just say fuck. It should be nothing but the word fuck. Here, buy our new Cartoons That Curse sweater. It's our new fuck hoodie.
Yo, man. Honestly, you know what's so funny about that is that, like, we're like dicking around, but I am 90% sure that there are people out there that would wear a hoodie that say fuck in the same way that it says in the theme song with that font spelled that way. I'm like,
oh yeah,
they would get that. Especially if we could put like some kind of hologram on it, so like it shakes on the shirt like how it does in the theme. You're killing them.
Yeah, yeah. We should make hologram shirts. That's a genius idea.
And they're really cheap too, right? That doesn't sound expensive.
No, we'll just have to invent it and then make it real affordable.
Right, so by next week.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Honestly, we do have such good logos, thanks to Carrie Feek, our incredible avatars and logo.
Yeah, Carrie killed it.
We should probably put that shit on some merch.
Yeah. Remember one of the last touches that she did that I think completes it was that she turned the R's backwards. In the
Cartoons That Curse. Yeah,
they weren't always backwards. That was great. And that was one of the last things she did. And that was, because I think she sent the version where they weren't backwards and she sent one where they were. And I was like, oh, I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one with the flip.
Yeah, the flip worked great. I remember when we got that one in. That one's so good. You know what? Comment below. You want some merch? We'll do a mug. Do a mug with our faces on it. Or a logo, maybe a sweater.
Family Guy meter.
Yeah, the Family Guy meter.
Paddington. we can't put Paddington on a shirt.
What we should do is we should do our logo, and instead of the curse in it, it just says Paddington 2.
You know what? I would wear that. Like, that's the one that I would buy. Right.
We should put out a shirt with my avatar and a shirt with your avatar, and then we can see who sells more. Whose face do they like more?
The battle of the hands, boy. I love that. Let's see who they really siding with. Who's the fan favorite?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is we'll put that out and we'll be so ready to jokingly fight about it on the pod, but then neither will sell any and we'll just be sad.
No harm, no foul.
All right. comment below. You want some cartoons that curse merch? We gotta figure some of this shit out. Maybe we gotta start a Patreon. We gotta make some merch. We gotta do a lot of stuff. We gotta start putting ads on our podcast because we get good listenership, and we haven't fucked with that yet.
Right.
Y'all are getting this beautiful content for free, except for on YouTube. We do put ads on YouTube.
That's true. I did tell you about that a couple of days ago. Remember, I told you about that idea I had for Patreon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You want to? Should we plug it? Should we say the idea? See if people are interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do it. Pitch
I wanted
it.
To do cartoons that drink. Me and Johnny. Me and Johnny get drunk and record an episode. Not it wouldn't be like a regular thing because like our livers, but we do it every once in a while.
Fair. Should we do an episode drunk, or should we record record commentary for a movie drunk?
I don't know. Both of those things sound funny though.
You guys want to hear me talk about why I don't like Shrek while I'm drunk?
Thank you for saying this, because I thought about texting this to you at least 3 times last week. They curse in every Shrek movie. Can we do the Shrek movies? Is that something that we can do? Or are we breaking
the question
our rules?
The question is, do I want to get a lot of hate for not liking Shrek?
I don't, me personally, I feel like me and you could have a civil conversation about these Shrek films.
I do think those would be really good episodes. I think we would make really good episodes about Shrek. I really believe that.
Remember what when I first found out that you didn't like them, and we had that pretty long conversation about the theming. Like, that was an interesting conversation.
It was. It was good. Yeah. And for those who don't, here's a fun and true story. I on stream revealed that I don't like the Shrek movies very much. And as a prank, Tariq sent me a Blu-ray set of every Shrek movie.
I sent all
to my
four.
House.
I sent all Which, four Shreks.
And I even rewatched. I rewatched the first two. I was just like, all right, you know what? Everyone loves these movies. I gotta see if I'm just wrong. And I rewatched the first two. Still don't love them. But
I was happy to at least that you acknowledge that, like, okay, the second one is like a competently put together film. Like, at the very least, you were able to say that, which
I think it's there's a lot about the second one I did like. I just don't think I vibe. I will talk about it when we cover Shrek. Now we're talking about it right here, and I'm like, well, we're gonna cover Shrek now. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna put Shrek behind the paywall. We're gonna start a Patreon.
Put Shrek behind
the
best way to do it.
Yeah, the first thing you're gonna get is you're gonna get like 4 Shrek commentaries or episodes of us just discussing Shrek and its theming. And one person who really likes Shrek and one person who's not that high on Shrek. And I think it'll be really good.
We should do Shrek drunk.
Yes. Okay.
We should do Shrek drunk.
Done. Comment below if you agree that that's a great idea. Thank you.
And even if you don't, we still might do it.
Yeah, we're probably still going to do it. People are going to be like, I don't want to pay for that. And I'm going to say, but you want it.
Yeah.
And you probably will pay for it.
Yeah, what you gonna do, buy a bootleg? Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows, people might be bootlegging our shit. We'll find out.
I won't put it
you know what, that's a good opening. Let's cue that theme song. Cue it.
I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a family guy that sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs a mutt. The show and spies is the same guy, except he totally same. End of verse.
Let's watch cartoons that curse.
Yeah, that's bananas.
As rough.
What the f*** is up, everybody? Welcome to Cartoons That Curse. My name is Johnny. This is my co-host, Tariq. How you doing, Tariq?
I'm all right.
You're all right.
I'm all right. There's a lot going on that we talked about earlier, but I'm all right.
This is Cartoons That Curse, the cartoon podcast where we talk about curses. Not really. We talk about cartoons that say curses. We don't really talk about the curses themselves that much.
I honestly don't. Can't think of one time we've talked about the usage of a swear or anything. Maybe. I don't know.
You know what we did? We did in the Simpsons movie episode last week, talking about them not saying bullshit or not saying shit. Yeah. That was it's a good episode. Simpsons movie. Great episode. This week, we'll see. We'll find out. So if you're listening to this, some of you might be confused because our Twitter poll very much indicated we would be talking about Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Right.
But we also posted a poll on our YouTube community page, and we got way more votes. And that one went to Stewie Griffin. I tallied it up. I did the math, did the science, as Tariq likes to say.
He did the science.
And it turns out Stewie Griffin Untold Story is what got significantly more votes overall. So if you're just following along on Twitter, you're confused. Sorry, we're talking about Family Guy, Stewie Griffin, the Untold Story.
Which, as it turns out,
sorry, go ahead.
I said, you got to get on YouTube, man. You know, it's funny. Did you see that comment that we got the other day where somebody was like, wait, so this has been on YouTube the whole time? And it's like,
I didn't see that comment, actually.
somebody commented. I don't remember who it was. But yeah, they were like, wait, so I've been listening to this podcast on Spotify like a barbarian, and it's been on YouTube this whole time?
now they got to listen to every episode again so they can see our beautiful faces.
That's true.
And
yeah.
Continue to give us those sweet, sweet views. But also listen on Spotify because I want to hit those Spotify charts again. That was a real boost to the ego.
Yeah, it was. It was. it made me feel like we were doing some really important shit. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Hell yeah. We'll hit it again, especially when we cover like BoJack. Everyone wants to hear us talk about BoJack. But today we're going to talk about Family Guy, which is a show we've talked about in a lot of episodes because my friend Tariq here is a big fan.
Yes.
And this is a weird place to start, truthfully. We just had these weird weeks. I'm busy. We don't have time to watch a whole season right now, so we've been doing these movies. And truthfully, we probably should have just gone with Beavis and Butthead because that's a real movie.
This watch, I guess we're in it, so we'll talk about it. But like this watch probably taught both of us a lot because it definitely taught me a lot.
This is very much like the thing that's closest parallel here is the Futurama movies, which each of those is four episodes smashed together, but those were very much written as these save for one, which we will talk about soon, but there is a connected story through all four episodes there. And while Stewie Griffin the Untold Story definitely has the Stewie, like this weird Stewie/future Stewie through line, every other story in this movie is like its own episode. Like there's three episodes in here and each one has a B plot that's completely separate. And they're so weird.
It's you could cut it with a knife. Like it tells you when the next episode starts. Like it does everything but play the damn theme song. Like,
right.
And One thing that they do, there's three episodes in this, and one thing that they do after the second one, which is like, yeah, I get it, it's a joke, but I was like, man, they're cheating, was where they do that intermission, where it's like, oh, so you just did that so you could have the fade out, so you could end that episode, and you can start, I was like, oh, come on, man.
They also add so much extra content to the top and bottom of the show. The top is like the movie premiere and then the like after party. And like clearly all of that shit was just meant for the DVD release, which is cool. I'm glad that there's at least some content that is exclusive to the movie version.
Right.
And like with the Futurama movies, there is technically shit that is like exclusive to the movie version. They cut out jokes. They trim shit. Like it's shorter. But this is like 20 minutes of content cut out for the movie episodes.
And
like
even in the episodes themselves, there are jokes that like did not make it. There's a whole there's a whole cutaway with is that what a cutaway happens, I think? Where Stewie's like shaving and then he's like, Brian, can you shave my coin purse? And then Brian laughs and walks off. And then there's a cutaway with like there's a is this the I don't all right I'm getting it mixed up but it there's a ball sack that is a detective, like that happens, and it's like,
oh yeah, you know,
okay, yeah,
yeah.
That happens in this,
yeah. There's definitely shit like that, and like there's also like in the DVD content, like the stuff that is not in the three episodes, which they've aired the three episodes as episodes before and cut them down.
Yes,
22
they
minutes
are
a piece.
The tail end of season four.
Yes, the 30 episode season. Thank God we have gotten three episodes knocked off of that season so that we don't fucking kill ourselves when we cover that season of Family Guy.
That's the one where every time we look at the Family Guy numbers, because we've contemplated it a few times, every time we look at the Family Guy numbers, we get to season four and we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that scares us away from it.
It might have to be. It even cut down to 27 episodes, I'm kind of like, this should be two episodes. This is so much fucking shit to talk about. But I remember vividly as a kid being kind of like at the forefront. I was a teenager when Family Guy was being brought back, and I was so fucking excited for it to come back. Like, I was a huge fan of those first three seasons, and there was the news that they were both doing a whole new season and a movie. It was like both things were happening, and I remember the show came back and I was stoked, especially that first one back. It leaked like on my birthday, and at my birthday party, I was like, guys, the new Family Guy leaked. And we watched it, and it was the funniest thing in the world to me, you know, when I was 14 or 15 or whatever. And then I remember this movie came out. I went, it is North by North Quahog. Great.
Yeah,
great.
Still
very
still
funny.
A really good one. It has that, you know how to use one of these, you know how to use one of these.
Yeah, one of these. Yeah. The Passion of the Christ 2 thing is so fucking funny.
So funny.
It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But I remember when this came out, I went and got the DVD, and I was so fucking excited to watch it. And I remember how much I laughed when they dropped the first F-bomb in it, which is Lois drunk on the red carpet. And it's because it's still it's Family Guy. So like I'm used to watching it on TV. There's not much uncensored shit that I had seen before that. And she comes out, she's like, when I first heard we're going to have a movie, I was like, fuck yeah. And like, yeah. I remember kind of losing my shit at that age, being like, oh shit.
Wait,
they said fuck.
Okay. So the DVD, cause I brought the DVD, for this, cause I saw it. I did see it like in its entirety before owning the DVD, but I brought it before we could do this so I could listen to the audio commentary and stuff like that. And my entire DVD was like censored. So she...
It was?
She does that line. She does say, fuck yeah, but like they bleep.
It bleeps it.
So I thought the gag was because it technically takes place on the news. So...
Right.
I thought that was the gag. And then, like, the next bleep is Peter when he's doing the, it really grinds my gears, You America.
Right.
Like,
yes, which is also on the news.
Also on TV. Then it, by the third episode, that's when I'm like, oh, they just censored the movie, is when, like, Chris's wife just keeps swearing and she's still
funny?
Bleeped.
You know what's funny is I remembered it being censored. As a kid, like I remember it being bleeped, and then I was rewatching it, and I actually couldn't find my DVD, but I had actually downloaded it a while ago for a Futurama video. I did a Futurama video, and I used the line where the guy asked Stewie if they're going to bring back Futurama, and he breaks his neck. So like I that was why I had it downloaded. So I watched that version of it for this podcast, and it's uncensored. So that's weird. That's really fucking weird.
Yeah, that was all right.
that the DVD is censored and that this digital version that I don't know where it came from is not.
Right.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I also think it's funnier censored. I think swears in certain instances are funnier censored. And I specifically remembered thinking that when he says, fuck you, America, after Grind My Gears. I remember specifically thinking this was funnier censored.
Yeah. And with Family Guy, definitely, it definitely depends. Because, like, that one, I do think that one is funnier censored. But there's one in the, there's a joke in a later episode where it's like Quagmire and Peter are just at the bar by themselves. It was just the both of them. And then the right. scene starts, and then Quagmire says, hey, so you ever just, like, accidentally beat off to old pictures of your mom? And Peter says, who the fuck starts a conversation like that? It's just how strongly he says it. Like, this is really funny.
Jesus Christ. It's pretty fucking funny. Yeah,
it's rough.
Man. All right. So, Tariq, you're the Family Guy guy. We're talking about Family Guy.
Absolutely.
We've been waiting for this moment. How do you feel?
All right. So we're here. Stewie Griffin, Untold Story, Family Guy got canceled after season 3. They didn't know if they would be back. And then
they were off for like a couple years.
Yeah, it was like a good three years or something like that. Yeah. Before this got greenlit, they were moved to Adult Swim, got syndicated, became way more popular. DVDs flew off the shelves.
That's when I discovered it. I discovered it watching Futurama and Family Guy on Adult Swim.
Likewise. And like, you know, just the push to bring it back, and like, they came back with this feature, and I think, at least to my knowledge, Seth kind of pitched the idea of a feature, and Fox said, okay, yeah, for sure, but we're going to pick you up for, I think they said on the commentary that the order was 35.
Jesus.
Right. So, and they literally, the guy literally says, like, that's a lot. But they picked him up for 35, and they gave him the film, but they said, if you do it, you got to split it up so we could release it as episodes. And I think that kind of, see, I don't know, there's a couple things that could be a factor in this, but like, I feel like part of that might be putting a damper on my enjoyment of the film this time around, partially because we spent the last two, and that's something that we talked about earlier, but we spent the last 2 weeks watching films. Like,
films.
The South Park movie is a movie. Like, the Simpsons movie, that is a movie. But this is literally three episodes put together, but unlike Bender's Big Score, they don't try to hide it.
Right.
Very clearly can you tell where every episode
starts. And it's also... We talk about this in our Bender's Big Score episode, which none of you have heard yet.
Right.
That movie, even though it's a straight-to-DVD movie, they made it feel bigger. They made it, even though it's four episodes smashed together, they increased the scale. They made it this big, crazy event. It felt to me like that movie, I could have watched that movie in the theater for the first time, and it would have felt bigger and like a bigger, more exciting version of Futurama. That is not how this one feels.
No.
Not at all.
There is no flair whatsoever.
None.
Which I think is funny to me, because in there's like later episodes of Family Guy that get and then there were fewer where all the characters die. That is extremely cinematic. It's way more cinematic.
Right.
Than this. So it shows that like the characters in the show is like capable of doing that. But here they don't put any stank on it. I think the only point in which I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of bigger, is like the last few shots. Mm-hmm. Like, it was or the last few shots of, like, the actual story.
The movie.
Even after the film ends, they do, like, a thing where, like, they ask the characters, hey, how does it feel to be back? And all of that stuff. Which I do think plays into, like, my ongoing Family Guy thesis, which is that the show works... because I think a lot of people's issue with it, and my issue with it, like, as a teenager, was that, like, fam, this literally makes no sense. Everything, every action these characters do to each other contradicts each other, like, and, like, you do some episodes that say, like, oh, we're supposed to care, and you do some episodes that say, oh, we're not supposed to care. And I think the way that the show works is, the show tells you exactly what it is the moment it cuts on, which is... like, think of the theme songs, right? You think of the Simpsons theme song. You think of, like, the American Dad theme song. You think of, like, even the Cleveland Show theme song. And they all kind of have a similar pattern in which they're all really, like, day in the lifey. You see Bart writing on the chalkboard. You see Homer at work. You see Stan getting ready for work. You see Cleveland with his family kind of thing. And but the Family Guy intro is different because they're literally putting on a show.
Right.
So I think when you look at the show that way, when you look at the show in a way where it's like, oh, so these are actors, like, these characters are kind of like actors, and every week they just kind of put on a different show. You think of, like, Mickey That's Mouse and Donald Duck and Goofy. They don't have a set life. You know what I mean? They kind of...
And when you
see them in a different area, like when you see, like, that Prince and the Pauper thing they did, like, in the 80s, or, like, you see the Mickey Mouse shorts, those two things can coexist and they can still be Mickey, Donald, and Goofy. And that's I think that's the way that, like, if that is one of the things that bothers you with the execution of Family Guy, I would maybe recommend trying to look at it that way. Because I think
that's the thing is. Yeah, you can't. I feel like you can't go into Family Guy looking for, like, a rich. I mean, there is going to be examples of it, but, like, going into it for, like, a rich narrative experience is maybe not what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've gone on a roller coaster, in my opinion, with Family Guy. Like I was fucking obsessed with it for so long. Like, loved it. And then it was pretty quickly into its revival that I started feeling sour on it. And I don't know if it was just me getting older and me being like, huh, or it was probably a combination of that. And just, like, I don't know, the show changed and leaned into cutaways more. And, like, it was, you know, it's gone through a whole evolution, but I for years didn't like Family Guy. For years, I was like, don't like, or respect that show. It's not a real narrative show. But I've kind of come around on it as, like, it's like a sketch comedy show. it's almost like a sketch comedy show disguised as a narrative show. And, like, you know, you got your character shit. There's plenty of character shit over the years, and that's interesting. But, like, I think there's a lot of fun value in the cutaway gags. And it's, you know, there's not many shows that can just do that all the time, you know? Right. And some of my favorite, I still remember so many gags that are cutaway gags that just, I think, are hysterical. You know what I mean? They're just like, that's a really funny bit. And it lasted 10 seconds in this Family Guy episode, you know?
I think about how, like, right, one of the common things you hear people talk about is, okay, well, like, characterization, for example, right? They think of, like, Peter, and they say, like, oh, how did he go from, like, this really caring dad that meant well and everything like that to what he is now, where he basically doesn't care about his family and everything like that. He's just this really big cartoon character. And, like, I used to think like that, too. But, like, I think my thing about it is that, like, you're talking about an era in which Family Guy literally didn't know what it was.
Right.
You watch those early episodes, and number one, the entire first season was made in a matter of months, because Seth MacFarlane.
I guess it's only six episodes.
Yeah, because Seth MacFarlane was the youngest showrunner in the history of television. And they came up to him and they said, yo, that pilot, we like it. Yo, we want more. And he was like, okay, cool. He was like, yeah, but we want to air it in front of the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl was like 8 months from that date that they said that to him. Oh my God. So he had to, and all, he didn't have a writing team. He didn't have a cast. He didn't have anything. Everything was built from the ground up really fast. So those first, that the first season, that first 6 or 7 is just like, they had to go and they had to do it immediately. And like, but yeah, the first and the second one is just like Family Guy not knowing. Wait, what's going on?
What's wrong? Did I disappear?
I don't know. No, I got like a bunch of error stuff. I don't know. I'm gonna keep going.
Oh shit.
Mikey, you, right? Get this out of here. This part.
I think I'm cutting this one.
what folks are talking about? This Family Guy and Seth. Oh, right.
Youngest showrunner, 8 months, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We had to make it real fast.
Yeah, so like the show didn't know what it was and what it wanted to be and like the kind of stories that it wanted to tell. So I don't necessarily know if it's fair to like go like, that's kind of, you know what that's like? It's like looking at The Simpsons and looking at the first season of The Simpsons and looking at like season 5 and saying, well, Homer wasn't this fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Right. Like they didn't know what they wanted to do back then yet. Yeah. They were still trying to figure it out. Now, if you like that, if you like that differently, if you like that more, then that's fine. You know, that's all preference, you know, story stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I can totally get why you wouldn't want to see like a character behave that way. But to kind of make it seem like it's just like some like weird thing that like it's almost like people use that to say that the writers are incompetent and that they didn't do it on purpose. I feel like that kind of makes people sound like they think the people that make Family Guy are stupid, and they aren't.
Right.
Because they know what they're right. doing and they know what kind of show that they want to make. It yeah, just the took show has them been a while on to figure it out.
For 20 seasons. They right. know what they're doing. That is
right.
an impossible task for the vast majority of television makers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, that's great. But you're not, you don't know better than them.
Right.
You know what I mean? They know what they're doing. Not, right. you know, Boner Jams 25 on fucking Twitter isn't a more competent writer than the Family Guy staff.
Yeah, exactly. So. And there's tons of shows that you can go to where like all of the things that you're saying that the show doesn't have. There's tons of shows that do have that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And looking for it in this is like you just kind of wasting your time. And you know, I kind of feel like too that I don't know. I kind of feel like there's sometimes a place for like just that nonsensical free form, just kind of like anything goes, throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Like sometimes there's value in that, but it all depends on the person. And but I don't know, Family Guy has different eras, and I don't think people realize that because they kind of lump it into, oh, okay, I just kind of hate this right now. But, right. like, that really offensive stance, because people think that Family Guy is, like, super-duper offensive. And I think that Family Guy had a really offensive run. I feel like there's mm-hmm. an era of Family Guy that's like really offensive. Where like there's like I'll watch those and I'll be like, what the fuck? Like they'll do jokes where I'm like, gee, all right, geez.
Wow.
And it's somewhere, and honestly, it kind of kicks off in a revival, but not really. So I'll be fair and say like it's like from like season 5 to 10, 11 or something like that. Like Right. Which is a big portion, so I can understand why that why that's still what people think. But like nowadays, like granted, every once in a while something will happen on there and you'll go like, oh yeah, that's kind of offensive, or like I didn't like that. Great. I'm not saying that the show is never offensive nowadays, but now it's just kind of stupid. And that's my favorite Family Guy. My favorite Family Guy is stupid Family Guy. My favorite Family Guy is dad joke Family Guy. Like, where they, cause that, like, especially in the early ones and the later ones have a lot of just like conversational humor, dad jokey kind of humor, like, and though that's kind of like my favorite stuff that the show does. And I don't know, looking back on like the earlier ones, it's like you can see like a lot of their intentions, like, you know, the logo, the eye has the little TV on top. Majority of older episodes start with them watching television.
That's true.
And partially is because you watch those really earlier ones, Peter does nothing but he blatantly says like, oh yeah, nah, it's just like Happy Days or it's like the Fonz and stuff like that. Like, he consecutively brings up television, and the thing is supposed to be that's where all of his values come from. It's a guy trying to raise a family with
that his television values. And that is what the theme song says. And it's also that theme song is a parody of All in the Family theme song.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, it seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV. Where are the good old fashioned values on which we used to rely, which is very much a, like, if it's parodying All in the Family and it's referencing these old television programs, it's referencing this stuff. So that is like spot on. That's exactly what it is. But how long can that be? It can be that, you know?
Right. But, you know, it's one thing about it is that I think the one piece of that everybody misses, because sometimes people kind of call the theme song out as kind of a contradiction, but I think the one part that everybody misses about that is that Peter learns all of the wrong stuff from television.
Yes, totally.
So it's supposed to be a juxtaposition. Yeah. They're saying, hey, this guy has all of the values that that we say that we miss, when really he has all of the dated values of the stuff that came before. All of the like, and that's why when you watch episodes, Family Guy gets mad violent. There is a lot of sex on Family Guy, but that's the joke. The entire thing is just is like a juxtaposition, and I think that's something that, like, people, I've seen people try to use that as like, well, they say this in theme and then they go, how can you say that and do that? It's like, you might not be thinking about it the right way, because this is what they're doing. They're twisting it like that.
Man, that's so interesting. That actually makes me really look forward to when we do cover those first few seasons of Family Guy, and like really dissect it from that angle. But it's interesting. Like, and I mean, and to go back to our conversation about how shows go through eras and change, it's like, when a show's been on as long as these ones, like this one has, or The Simpsons has, or South Park has, like, all three of those shows distinctly have different eras. Even within that, like, the quote unquote golden era of The Simpsons, like, you can't tell me that season two feels like season eight. You know what I mean? It's not the same thing. And it's still, you know, I love them both tremendously, but like, it's, you know, you start to, this is kind of a thing that I talk about a lot in media, but you grab something that you like as a measuring stick when something changes, and you're like, and you hoist it up and you say, see, it's not this anymore. And that means it's bad. But when you look at The Simpsons, like, season eight is incredible. And if you stick that up to the season two measuring stick, it's not the same thing. And so it's just a matter of like, if people start to perceive a dip in quality or there's some doing something they don't like, that's when they pull out these like objective qualifiers where they're just like, oh, objectively, this isn't what it was before. And now it's, and that means it's bad. But that's not how, first of all, you're objectively using the term objective wrong. And second of all, that's just not how television works. Why? Or storytelling. Why do you want the same things over and over? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. Let a show evolve and change. Let a show change over the years. And, you know, maybe Family Guy had an era that was not as strong or had things to be more critical of. But the show's been on for a very long time. And there's room for shows to change again, you know? Like, I think about that with South Park a lot too. South Park feels so different over the years, and like even now the pandemic and vaccination special feels so drastically different than even just three seasons ago, you know.
Even Simpsons, right? Like, I feel like again, the average person that just kind of goes, oh, this is bad now, wouldn't do this much thinking about it. But you could even look at, say season 20, right? Season 20 and season 30, they feel different. They do. Like, they actually do. Like, and one of the things, we didn't talk about this in the Simpsons movie one, but one thing that I did that I always noticed was that, like, the movie more or less was kind of the start to, like, a change that I noticed in Marge, where, you know, the Marge that, oh, say, we grew up with, right, it was kind of, like, lack of a better term, she was kind of, like, really passive, and, like, if Homer would do something, she would just kind of, like, maybe be a little humiliated, but she would stand up for him and everything like that. But the later Marge, like the Marge of today, she's like, she gets visibly annoyed, which is something that like 20 years ago is foreign. But like, she regularly gets visibly annoyed at Homer, like to the point where like the writer's almost like, fam, we've been writing her with him for 30 years. She's got to be tired by now. You know what I mean? Totally. Like, and they do that to her. And like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of worth in looking at shows and seeing how they deal with stuff like that over time, instead of just putting everything in a vacuum and just going like, okay, this is how this is. And this is how that is.
Agreed. And but like, we talked about this last week. Right, and we talked about this last week. By all means, have your preferences. Like, I very much love early Simpsons and more than a lot of what's come more recently or later than that. But, you know, I also acknowledge that the show can't just be what it was for 20 years. It can't be the same thing for 20 years. That's not a thing. That just can't be a thing. And that's okay. Which is one of the reasons I'm very intrigued and interested to revisit Family Guy, a show I've really only watched the first seven or so seasons of, maybe a little more than that. But I've seen a handful of episodes. You showed me some episodes from later stuff that I thought were pretty interesting and fun, and I'm eager to see what the show has changed into and how it's evolved over the years. It should be interesting, especially as someone who is so fanatical about it as I was back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like now they're kind of more open to experimenting, and they do last season they had an episode called Customer of the Week, which was just like that was like the really fascinating character piece on Lois.
Yeah, I really liked that episode.
Yeah, they do stuff like that now that I really appreciate. And I don't know, like, I get on here and I talk about how much I love Family Guy just because of, like, there was a point in time where, like, it was literally all I could watch. And I don't know, not once in any of my Family Guy rants or tangents did I say that I felt like the show was perfect or without sin or without blemish or not problematic. There are definitely things, many, many things about the show where you could watch them with your 2021 glasses and be like, no.
Same is true for South Park. And truthfully, the same is true for some things in The Simpsons, probably to a lesser degree. But there's definitely things in The Simpsons that don't hold up with 2021 glasses, you know. And that's just the reality of making things for this long through different eras of the world. You know, you can't just expect everything to hold up to scrutiny in every era. Things and ideas and people are constantly changing and evolving and learning, and that's a part of the human experience. And if these shows are all reflections of the human experience, then they are going to reflect those things. We got an angry comment last week because we talked for 45 minutes before getting into the actual content of the movie. And you know what? We did it again.
We did it again.
But do we want to, like, what do we have to say about this? It's three episodes of Family Guy. And I guess we did talk a bit about the like structure and how it's formatted and stuff. You know what I want to bring up is I noticed two interesting parallels to the Simpsons movie. But Drunk Stewie. We had Drunk Bart.
Oh yeah, I wrote down you're drunk, you're sexy.
You're sexy. That is a line that was always. That is like a line that has always stuck in my head over the years. It's really always. I guess these aren't as much interesting parallels as much as they are like, oh, like they both did these things. Fucking Peter pretending to be Spider-Man doing his like, Batman thing. And that just instantly made me think of the Spider Pig thing. And I'm like, this is very similar in that they are both, just like Homer and Peter making up a bad song set to a theme tune, both involving Spider-Man. It's very funny. But I thought that was just really interesting that both of these things had that.
Yeah. No, I didn't even do the science on that. You definitely got me there.
I'm doing all kinds of science this week.
Yeah, right. I think speaking of Drunk Stewie, I think when Brian and Stewie get drunk at the bar, I think it's really funny.
I do too. I actually really think Drunk Stewie is funny.
I do.
My favorite Drunk Stewie is when he's trying to tell everyone he's going to jump from the shelf to his high chair. I love him just trying to get everyone's attention to be like, I'm going to jump from the shelf to my high chair. Like, it's so, I love how he says it. It's so funny. That gave me a big laugh.
Yeah, that's what Peter says. Peter says, Stewie, will you quiet down? It grinds my gears when you do that. And that's which is like, I like that. I don't know. I like that. This is an earlier one. So like the characterization is a bit different. I don't think if they were to do this story today, I don't know if it would go the same way, but like Lois is just like really attracted to the fact that Peter is like well known and he has a catchphrase and like, they go to like these fancy restaurants, all this stuff. And like, she's so fixated on him saying, hey kid, that grinds my gears when you interrupt me.
Yeah.
That she doesn't even flinch on the fact that like the baby jumps. And it's just, and then he says he's yelling about his like this gash he has on his leg like immediately after. And she doesn't do anything.
doesn't hurt though. Yeah, man, it's true. It is really funny. Negligent parents, I would say, but it's a really funny bit. I think Drunk Stewie is really funny. He drives home, right? He crashes the car.
Yeah,
that's why Peter loses his job.
Right.
But it's so funny how like the through line of the Stewie story is like him discovering this guy he thinks is his dad, and that is the thing that carries over episode to episode to episode. That is like the through line for this movie. But every individual movie episode has a completely separate B plot for the rest of the family that are totally disconnected from one another. This one has the grind my gears B plot. Like, that's Peter's thing in this one. Is that the second one that's them trying to teach the kids like how to date?
Oh yeah, that is the second one.
And then what's the third? What do they do in the third?
The retirement home stuff. They try to put them in a home because they go to the future.
Right. Oh, and it's the future stuff. That's right. That's where the B plot exists, is in the future.
Which I do
there are
think,
some jokes that made me laugh.
I do think that the movie does a semi-clever narrative thing, which is in the start of the second episode, they go and get like TiVo, which is like, I guess in 2021, depending on who you are, you might not,
It was brand new at the time.
Yeah, TiVo. Yeah. So I guess in 2021, you might not know what that is.
Right.
But TiVo, that's like you could pause, rewind, record. It was, fam, TiVo was lit back then. I couldn't, when my mom got TiVo, boy, I was happy as hell. So, like, but they make the family get TiVo early on. And then when Stewie sees who he thinks to be his actual dad on the TV,
He can pause.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
I did do the science on that one. I was like, oh, that's why they did the TiVo thing. That's why they made such a big deal of the TiVo thing. I also thought it was very funny and clever that they fast forwarded the scene where they buy TiVo. That was a good gag.
Yeah.
That was good. But then even each individual one had like the first one is like the Stewie and Brian. What was the impetus of them getting drunk? Is he dealing with his near death experience or like what is him?
Yeah.
Why
so
is he getting?
It's Stewie. Yeah. Stewie trying to Stewie approaches Brian earlier about like trying to find a way to calm down from the near-death experience. And Brian's just kind of like, well, you got to find, like, your own way to cope. And, like...
And they just get drunk.
Like, what you can do. And then while Brian's telling him to do that, he's drinking. And then Stewie's like, well, let me have some. And Brian's like, no. And he gives him, like, a quick talk to. And then he walks off. And then Stewie goes and tries it anyway. And that's how Stewie ends up drunk at the table. And then Brian keeps trying to stop Stewie to drink. And so, which is... really, really dumb logic on Brian's part. But Brian says, all right, you know what? Which is, okay, he does like a Hank Hill thing. Because Hank
does
this too.
Hank Hill.
Yeah,
yes.
he's like, I'm going to get you so drunk that you never want to drink again. Which is like...
it's the cigarettes thing in season one of...
Yeah. Which I just... Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know. You want to talk about that? With Hank, I think that's debatable. I don't know if I think that
I don't. I don't think that is a... premise that they would have done in King of the Hill after season one.
I don't think
Hank would have done it. I do think that's a fun episode, especially because it shows like how fucking desperately addicted to cigarettes they become.
Has Hank smoked since?
Yes, in the two-part episode, where he's accused of murder, accused of murdering Debbie. He starts smoking in that episode, and then he accidentally smokes a joint, and that's why he thinks he blacked out and may have murdered Debbie because he smoked one hit of a joint.
Right.
And he tries to induce vomiting afterwards. those two episodes are excellent, really good.
They are, yeah. Like, actually, when you said two-parter, I'm like, he smokes in Returning Japanese, because that's what I think of when I think of Kimi no Na two-parter. No,
he's so stressed from something that he starts smoking again, and then that's how they lead him to the you know what, I think it's because he has to do more work, because Buck and Miss Liz are splitting up, and she starts to run Strickland because she gets it. And then Hank has to do all like a bunch more stuff, and he's dealing with like Miss Liz and all of this like drama between the two of them, and so he starts smoking because of it. Miss Liz like comes on to him. There's so right. much going on in that one.
Yeah, but
I think that's the only other time we see him smoke cigarettes is then.
So how do you what do you land on like that logic that both Hank and Brian follow, where they're just kind of like, oh, we're gonna make you do so much to where you don't want to do it anymore.
I think it's a trope. I think it's been in other things before. Like, I think it's a thing some people have. I think it maybe is. It's definitely something I've heard on TV outside of King of the Hill. Like, I know I've heard of that like tactic for like getting you to stop smoking. Or maybe it's in real life. Maybe it's a thing that real people have been like, yeah, they made me like I smoked a cigarette. My dad made me smoke every one in the pack, and then I never smoked again or whatever, you know. I think because in King of the Hill, it's a carton, isn't it?
It's a fucking carton. It is.
That is sociopathic. Like that is.
It actually is.
So fucking bad. Not even a pack a day smoker would enjoy smoking a carton of cigarettes. No. That is disgusting, and could and probably did irreversible damage to Bobby Hill.
That is my thought process with that. And I just every time I think of that scene, because again, it's season one, so it's the early models. And I remember thinking, like, did Bobby's head get like deformed at a certain point from smoking all those? Because he starts to look insane, and I'm like, man.
And you know, obviously Family Guy is a little more cartoony than King of the Hill. Like King of the Hill kind of exists within real world rules. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Family Guy, like, it's a little sillier. Like they drunk baby doesn't hold as much weight in Family Guy as it would in King of the Hill. You know right. what I mean? Like if they fucking fed good Hank, so, like a beer in King of the Hill, you'd be like, right. what the fuck? But it's a child who talks. You know what I mean? It's a baby who talks in Family Guy. It feels very different. I don't think it's a good strategy, but I think it fits the show. You know what I mean? But it is a different, it's like a very different vibe between the two shows, because they have different internal logic and different tones as shows. Right. Yeah. And I think Drunk Stewie's funny. It's very funny.
Yeah, me too. I like when Brian and Stewie are at the bar and they're both drunk. Well, I think like when they're about to take their first drink, Stewie does a toast and he says, "To the black man, thanks for taking it all in stride," which I think is really funny.
His delivery, Seth MacFarlane's delivery in that is really funny.
Thanks. Taking it all in stride.
Drunk Stewie is funny. Yeah. That's just all there is to it. Drunk Stewie is funny. And then, so that's the plot of the first episode with Stewie and Brian. Second one is discovering. It's basically the second one is Road to San Francisco. You know, it's them going on a road trip to find this man who is clearly like related to Stewie, and right. then discovering it's future Stewie, which is a fucking bonkers twist that I forgot about until I rewatched it this time. I went out in the middle of rewatching it, seeing older Stewie. I remember that was when I remembered, oh yeah, it's fucking future Stewie. I totally forgot that they go to the future and all that stuff. Mm. And then the third episode is them in the future. It's called Stewie right. and Stu's Excellent Adventure, which is a Bill and Ted reference. And so, yeah, it is. It's like very three very distinct episodes, even though there is that through line for and they bring it back around. They bring it back, Stu's thing back around to the near death experience, which is at least makes that story function almost like a movie.
Right. But you know what? Because I remember thinking that too, and I think in the beginning it could almost feel like oh, okay, this is just the beginning of a movie, like this is all set up, but they have to tell a whole half hour story, So exactly. It gets stretched a little too longer for it to feel like setup. And it's just like, am I just watching an episode of the show? Like, that's kind of what it turns into. If they didn't have to do that, then I feel like it would have flowed better. The second part is also, again, we said the second part is also the one where Peter and Lois want to have more alone time at the house, but Chris and Meg are always there. So they spend time with them to kind of, like, just like, oh, maybe you guys should just start, like, go out and start dating or whatever. And they spend time with them just trying to teach them, like, dating etiquette and stuff like that.
Right.
And that has there's a lot of jokes that I didn't get until I was an adult for obvious reasons. And one of them is where Lois says, all right, Chris, it's time that we practice eating out. At a fancy restaurant, and you see, like, the silverware and shit.
You know what's funny is I specifically was going to bring that joke up, and I did get it. I did get it when I was, I mean, you know, I was older than you when this came out, so I got the joke, but, and it always stood out to me. But there is a different eating out joke in this movie that I didn't get as a kid, and I did get this time. That's and cool. it's when Quagmire comes out of the pool house with that girl and is like, I guess I can't swim for 30 minutes.
Oh yeah.
And this time I was like, oh, and it was funny because I like actively remembered that joke from being a kid and not really getting it and being like, oh, you just can't swim after you have sex. That was like in my brain as a kid. Right, I was like, what? but I got it this time. You know, it only took 15 years.
Right.
But
we made it here.
You know what I also noticed? This is a weak transition, but it's another thing that there are two of in this movie that just kind of confused me. I was like, would they really do two of these? There's two Indiana Jones cutaways. They do two cutaway gags that are one. Indiana Jones. They do the one where Stewie is Short Round from Temple of Doom.
Right. That's the one.
And then shit, what is that going? They do a Holy Grail one. They do the one where he pulls Jesus's mug. He's like, I think it's this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's the mug that says Jesus. I mean, I
yeah. It's another good gag. That's a funny gag. I like that a lot. Man.
So the second part has, we talked about this on the last episode, but the second part is where it has a really, really, really weird storytelling issue that I've never seen happen before. Which, if you're watching these as episodes of a Family Guy, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're watching it as individual episodes, but if you're watching it together as a film, it 1000% matters, which is Brian and Stewie both go to San Francisco. They go together. And, like, they see like Stu, they see him going into like a hotel or something like that. And when they run in, Brian and Stewie both agree to split up. Brian runs in one direction, and then we follow Stewie. And then that is the last time you see Brian for the duration of this film. He does not show back up until literally like the end part comes up and they do all that fourth wall breaky stuff at the end.
Right.
Like, but you don't see him for the rest of the story. And watching this as a whole, you see that, you know, Stewie, he meets Stu, and then he says, I'm you, and then it fades out, and then the intermission happens, and then the next episode starts. So, if you're just watching Family Guy, you're just watching an episode with adult Stewie and baby Stewie. And you're not wondering where Brian is because it's a different episode and maybe you forgot that Brian even came. But if you're watching a movie, and even just like, you could even throw out story-wise, like character-wise, Brian in either era, in any era of Family Guy, I don't see him leaving Stewie by himself.
Right. They only did it because they needed to get Stewie to meet Stewie without Brian being there. Like, it was just a way for that to be the focus, is those two.
But I feel like, Because I thought about it while watching the film, right? And I do feel like they could have told this story and kept Brian there too.
Yeah, they would have had to change a few things about it, but...
Actually...
Because Brian's dead in the future.
Yeah.
From eating chocolate.
That's the hard part about it.
Yeah. And, yeah, and, you know, they're trying to trick the family about little Stewie, even though, like, Lois can obviously see through it. Right. It's tough. I mean, I get it. Like, I understand it, but it is weird. It is weird that, like, Brian's a big part of it. And then in the third one, not only is Brian not gone with them, but he's dead in the future. So we only see him for one cutaway gag in heaven. And then after, like as an episode, in fact, he's probably in a total of a minute. Like in the full episode version, not the movie version. He's probably in that episode a total of 1 minute.
That reminds me of a joke they do in a later episode where I don't remember what the episode is or what's going on. I just know that Brian is not in the entire episode. And at a certain point, they do a gag where, like, it's like one of those, like, you know, like, you in, like, the mid-2000s, you'll watch TV and then, like, something will pop up on the screen and it'll be like, oh, a fact about the episode. And then it'll just say a little blurb on the side. The joke they do is they put like a blurb up and it says Family Guy fans freaked out when Brian was killed, but did they miss him in this episode? And and it's meant to make you go, oh shit, Brian's not here. Like, that's what it did for me the first time I saw it. I was like, fuck, wait, he's not in this one. You're right.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And I guess the internal logic of this movie is that once Stewie goes back in time to change the past, it doesn't matter that Brian's in San Francisco anymore. He changes the timeline, right? So,
Right.
So,
I think the joke where Brian is dead, is really, I think it would have gone a different way if they did it today, because of how pretentious Brian is now.
Right.
Because he's with all of those people, all those really, like, influential
famous
people.
Artists and musicians. Yeah.
And they're like, man, I just got so depressed that I had to, you know what I mean? There was so much going on with just this and that. And Brian was like, yeah, I just kind of got in some chocolate in the trash. Yeah,
in the trash.
Yeah. Like, and the fact that, like, yeah, like older Brian would have earned, he would have owned that. Like, how he does here, he just kind of like, he's ashamed of it, but it's like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, that's just kind of what happened. But like, if they would have do that today, he would have 1,000% lied. Brian is just kind of like a joke. What's the I always get the name of that book wrong. The book that's like, was that 1983? Is that the name of the book?
1984. You were so close.
1984. I always get the name of the book wrong. But you got the year wrong. In an episode in the last season, right? Brian like meets what is supposed to be like his first family, and he sees that they have 1984 on his show, and he's like, "Oh, 1984 could happen, right?" And the guy's like, "Which part?" He was like, "Just all of it." All of it, you know? It's like, you didn't even fucking read the book. like, what are you talking about?
That's so funny. I do miss, like, that joke is so funny because, like, I feel like, and I don't know, maybe you can speak to this, but the humor in Brian used to be how he's like, clearly a person.
Yes.
Like, who does all these things, and then is still, like, he'll still succumb to those dog things sometimes. Like, the idea that Brian died because he ate chocolate out of the trash is very funny, because that's how a dog would die.
Right.
Even though Brian's not a dog, you know what I mean? He's definitely not a dog. Yeah, it's funny stuff. I don't know if they keep up with that kind of shit. But.
They do. It does keep going. There's a line in the later one where... like, they're, like, doing something really serious. And then Brian just kind of gets caught up chasing his tail. And Stewie watches him. He's like, you're a weird doggy guy, Brian. You're just a weird doggy
really
guy.
Funny.
Wait. Okay, that reminded me of a different one. because the one I'm thinking about is so funny. Stewie, there's an episode where like Stewie and Rupert get into an argument because he finds out that Rupert used to be Chris's toy when Chris was Stewie's
age.
And like Stewie, I ain't gonna lie, Stewie start tripping, bro. That nigga goes to Cancun or something like that, like in vacations, because he needs to take time off to like clear his mind. And he's on the beach, and then like a tour guy walks up to him, and he's like, excuse me, little boy, where are your parents? And Stewie's like, oh, I'm kind of like a dude baby. It's so funny because he is. They have to acknowledge the fact that this is a baby that traveled by himself.
That's so funny.
I'm just a dude baby.
I'm a dude baby. Oh man. Let's see. You know, not to get into the negative territory, I do feel like there's a lot of jokes that don't hold up in this episode or in this movie. I don't know. Maybe this is par for the course for Family Guy back in the day, but like a lot of uncomfortable racist shit.
Oh, like, yeah.
Especially like with, I mean, it's interesting because this was the thing that she's been scrutinized for before. But like Trisha Takanawa, the character that is played by Alex Borenstein. You can kind of tell from the voice. And she's been criticized because in Mad TV, one of her famous characters was an Asian woman named Miss Swan, who admittedly, when I was a child, loved those sketches. Thought they were so funny when I was a kid. But, you know, it's like, I guess. All of these shows do that. Like, obviously, The Simpsons has done it. South Park does it. Family Guy does it. Like, they have all these, like, they have white folks voicing not white folks a lot.
I think Alex Boyd, I'm pretty sure she was Loretta, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I guess, and especially a lot of these shows, when they have a versatile voice performer, they give them as many voices as they can. That's like, that makes sense logistically for creating an animated show. And that's how all of this happens, you know, that's how it happens. But yeah, man, there's some uncomfortable jokes, especially that opening stuff with the premiere where she's
it got rough really quick. I was like,
yeah, yeah,
it got rough really quick.
Definitely.
That's the thing. I want to reiterate that I am full and well aware that there's a lot of stuff that doesn't age well. There's a lot of stuff that's unnecessarily offensive. You feel what I'm saying? Like, even in regards, like, I'm not one of those, like, oh, y'all are too sensitive. Like, I want to make that clear that, like, in my enjoyment of the show does not come from those aspects of it. Like, I am a sensible human being. I can like roll my eyes at some of those jokes and be like, man, come on. Like, y'all didn't have to. There's definitely like a lot of that stuff that I don't enjoy. But like, I choose not to harp on it just for the sole fact that I'm at a being that like, it was a completely different era. As long as you're not doing that kind of stuff now in your 2021 brain, where everybody is vocal and everybody's listening to each other and listening to, like, hey, well, even if we are joking, these things that we're joking about have these implications, and it could do this, this, that, and everything to harm. And you know, I feel like the show sometimes feels guilt in that regard for, you know, sometimes perpetuating certain narratives or like putting certain stereotypes out there even more, to where like You know, because kids watched Family Guy growing up. Mm-hmm. And it's not Family Guy's fault that kids watched Family Guy.
Right. I want to make that clear, too. It was on Adult Swim. You know what I mean?
Right. You know what I mean? Like, the kids, me, I am kids that watched Family Guy. And I was not supposed to be. But right. I did. And I did get, like, I did learn negative stuff from it. But, you know.
Yeah.
I think the whole point that we talked about earlier about how Peter learns all of the wrong things from television. And that's kind of like the point of the show is saying, like, you can't get your values from television. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta get them from actual real world experience and like stuff like that.
Right.
And you can't be dependent on these characters to be the stand-ins for your values. And for all of them to always do the right thing. But again, that is not an excuse. That's an explanation. That's not an excuse.
Right.
You know,
and that's the thing is like, you can't watch this stuff in like a vacuum. You know what I mean? Like you have to, I think it's important and valuable to acknowledge that stuff. In fact, you have to, like, you can't watch old Family Guy or old South Park and just kind of be like, well, yeah, this is fine. You know what I mean? It doesn't also,
because
mean
I don't
you
think
can't...
they do.
Right. Oh, they definitely don't.
I don't think they do either.
Oh, I don't think so either. And in fact, that's what my latest South Park video is about. I showed some clips of Matt Stone and Trey Parker talking at the 20th anniversary, talking about how, there's a lot of things that they've put into Family Guy that they look back and social commentary things, and they basically say, we missed the mark here, or I don't believe this anymore. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that is what they felt, and that's what they were saying at the time. And it's like a record. It's an imprint and record of their, like, where they were. And you know what? That's, as I said, I say in this video, but that's true for all of us. We all have believed and said or done problematic things in the past. You know what I mean? Like, we've all, like, as children or, you know, growing up and learning and, or, you know, and not as children, as adults too, we're constantly learning these new things.
Absolutely.
The difference is we don't have 20 seasons of television to remind us, you know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly how we were feeling in 2001. We can, you know, pretend we didn't think or believe those things, but that's not true. A lot of us did, you know, and that's, and it's just the reality. And we have to, and I think it's important to acknowledge those things and acknowledge that these things happened and were commonplace. And you have to keep that in mind when you're watching it. And it's something you have to remember and you have to understand. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy media that contains these things anymore. Of course, you are very much, if you don't want to enjoy it for that reason, that is completely
absolutely
valid.
If by all means, if you watched this film or anything in general, but even strictly on Family Guy, if you watch this film and there's one joke that makes you extremely uncomfortable, it is in your right to turn it off. You know
yes.
what I mean? It is in your right to be like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's valid. I think that that's valid. Like,
it definitely is. Yeah.
You know,
but also, you know, you can't like, it's, you know, but it's another thing to, you know, place your own, you know, like to shame people who do enjoy that stuff and are, you know, like it's to assign, you know, the blame of that content to the person who enjoys it in spite of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, just because I can go watch an old South Park episode and enjoy it doesn't mean that I believe all the things they said in those episodes or the words they used. And like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a little excessive to be like, well, you must be this or that because you like this thing, you know what I mean?
Right. Because even there could be like a really, really, really good episode and it could have a horrible joke in the middle of it.
Yes.
But when I talk about that episode, I love what's around that episode. I don't love that specific joke. And it is okay to still enjoy the episode, because that's the thing, right? Is that they don't just, there isn't a single thing where they just start an episode, say a bunch of swears, do a bunch of offensive jokes, say a bunch of slurs, and then play the credits. Like, that's not how it goes. I think of Eddie Murphy Raw, where he talks about how he got a phone call from Bill Cosby, and Bill Cosby was telling him that he was too vulgar on stage and that he would like curse and everything like that on stage. And then Eddie was just kind of like, you act like I just got on stage, cursed, and left. Like, there's jokes in between that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's stuff, there's other stuff here, there's substance here. And I think that's true with a lot of media that we just kind of look back on and be like, I'm not going to lie and say that, like, I'm totally fine with everything in, like, every episode of Family Guy. There are episodes of Family Guy that, like, when I go and watch Family Guy, I purposefully skip. There's episodes I haven't seen in years because they make me genuinely uncomfortable. That episode with, like, Quagmire's sister and, like, the domestic abuse thing, it makes my skin crawl. Like, I can't watch
that. And that's the thing is, like, there are, like, especially a show like Family Guy or a show like South Park, like, sometimes there are jokes that are, like, oof. But, you know, it's, like, it's outside of the rest of the story, you know what I mean? But sometimes there are things that are fundamentally flawed. And it's like, well, I can't deal. Like, that's something we talked about with Futurama, Bent Her. You know, like, there's episodes that were like, well, fundamentally, I think this is problematic. Whereas sometimes there's just jokes. There's jokes in Futurama that are problematic, but only a couple episodes that you feel like, oh, that's fundamentally problematic.
Perfect example. Phenomenal episode, Hell is Other Robots. It has that joke, that transphobic joke. It has
a transphobic joke.
Yeah, it has that transphobic joke. And I remember watching, I was like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, I was so confused. But that's, even, everybody is in agreement that is a phenomenal episode of Futurama.
Yeah.
But that part, that one specific joke is like, what? Come on. Yeah. Like, why would you hear?
You know what? There's an interesting way to transition back to this movie. I was kind of surprised that it didn't play Meg's transition for laughs more in the future segment.
Yes. Yeah.
I fully expected the show to be very offensive about it. And, you know, Peter did dead name Ron in that.
But Ron corrects him. And that's just kind of it.
Right. Yeah. And even like, I mean, maybe that was at that point to them, that was just the joke. But like, it is kind of shocking how there were really no jokes at Ron's expense in it. No. And it ends on like a nice sweet note where Meg, like, it's like, Ron, I really like that name.
I thought that was sweet too. I thought I was tripping for thinking that was sweet. Yeah. I thought that was sweet too. We're like,
and Meg, I don't know if they were, and I don't know if I like give them the benefit of the doubt, because I do feel like they maybe their intention was just like, isn't this funny? Like, Meg transitions, you know what I mean? Cause like, it doesn't feel like the show that would play it sweet, but I think in the fact that they didn't do any other jokes at the expense of Ron, it's like, well, this is kind of just sweet. This is kind of just a sweet button to this story. Mm-hmm. Again, I was very surprised. The moment Ron came in, I was like, oh yeah, how bad does this get? and it's really not that bad. It's wild.
Again,
yeah.
This is before Family Guy gets super offensive. Because you think to, like, for example, the first episode with Ida, when Quagmire's dad transitions, like, Brian, like, vomits. You know what I mean? Like,
when he
finds out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's rough. Like, that's really, like, that's
totally.
That's rough, and that's gross that they played it like that. But nah, that's why I'm saying with Family Guy is different eras, because that tone is not here.
Right.
You see how they deal with it here in comparison to how they do with it there.
Yeah. I was shocked. I was genuinely like, I was like bracing for the worst. I was like, what? I did like trying to remember. And it's really just played straight. It's Meg transitioned and is Ron. And other than, I guess they do a joke where they're like, they're trying to make fun of Ron for seemingly like overplaying things. Right. You know what I mean? But you know, it's like it was really tame stuff compared to what I maybe would have expected from Family Guy.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, they do a joke in the third part that with my 23-year-old brain, I was like, oh, this is actually really funny. And I did not, there was no way I could have possibly got this as a kid. But like as an adult, I'm like, oh, this is really funny. When Stewie tries to go back in time, but he goes too far and he goes to 1974. And he sees Condoleezza Rice in college. And she just has like this Black Panther. She's like, Black Panthers, crazy crackers. Like, is she doing all of this shit? And like, she like makes out with a white girl. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, okay. I get it now.
Can I tell you my favorite joke in the whole movie? It's just a gag. It's a sight gag, and it made me cackle. And it was when Stewie jumps out the window, and then they cut outside, and it's a stuntman in a Stewie costume,
and then
he lands, and then it's Stewie again. I laughed so hard at that joke because it's a cartoon. I wasn't expecting it. You know what I mean? Like, it's very funny. It's a really good gag.
I told my friend Steve, who I do Sketch the Rhyme with, when I was like heavy on Family Guy, I got Steve back heavy on Family Guy because I couldn't stop talking about it. And one of the things I brought up was this film because I brought up about how Brian disappeared. And Steve was like, oh, I didn't realize that was a film. I always saw those as episodes. So Steve went back and watched those episodes. And then he texted the group chat and sent a picture of Stewie jumping out the window. And he was like, now that I know that this is a movie, this joke makes sense.
Oh, man. I cracked up hysterically at that joke. I thought that's it was so, funny. So
there's
funny.
There is a on-screen gag that gets me that's early in the film when they're after the red carpet and they watch like the film trailers and right before the movie starts, they do that like green screen thing with like the text and like now the feature presentation at the bottom. It says like, Jerry, if you're in the audience, I slept with Diane.
It's just really funny. I thought this was the best way to tell you.
So funny.
Sorry, man. See you at karaoke tonight. Really good gag. That's a fucking funny joke. Yeah, I really like that. You know what I also love? I truly enjoyed the Ferris Bueller tribute / homage at the end with him running through to try and get there in time. Even though it was just played just like Ferris Bueller, but like even in Ferris Bueller and in Family Guy, it's so funny when he runs past the girl sunbathing and then just walks back. Like, nice to meet you, Griffin. Nice to meet you, Griffin.
I do love that.
It's a funny gag no matter who is doing it. God, man, so good. Stewie Griffin, The Untold Story.
Yeah.
Weird title, like I guess is why is it what was untold about it?
I guess they wanted to make it feel like Lost.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I guess so, even though they aired it on TV. But you know, like I guess you know, we've talked about the things we like about this movie. I will say overall I didn't love Stewie Griffin, The Untold Story.
Less than I thought I did, which was kind of a weird realization for me, because so as everybody who listens to this podcast knows, I had a stint where like I was obsessed with Family Guy, and it recently ended, and it ending, my stint with Family Guy ending and watching this made me go, Oh, okay. So I guess this is how I feel about Family Guy when I'm normal. because like when I had like this really big like hyperfixation on it for a really long time, honestly, because for a while it was kind of the only thing that I could watch because I just kind of needed, I didn't need like critical thinking stuff, but like, you know what I mean? I just kind of needed something to put on, something to pacify me. And Family Guy was there for me in that regard. And watching this film, yeah, definitely kind of, I kind of went like, oh, okay. So like this like really big, like, oh, I fucking love Family Guy. Like that, like I think I'm out of that. And I think I'm just kind of like, I'm like, yeah, I have a good time when I watch Family Guy. And when I watch this one, like, I think going into it and being like, okay, I'm going to watch this Family Guy film. And then I think it only dragged for me because I'm like, fam, these are literally episodes. And I could
have. That's how I felt watching
just
it.
Just watched episodes. And I think, again, doing these, we talked about films for the past 2 weeks and then coming here is like, okay, there's definitely a big difference here.
Yeah, it does feel, you can really tell it. And even a difference between like Futurama's movies that did the same thing fundamentally where they tied episodes together. But those feel bigger and more cinematic and more unified than this does. You know, this really does have three separate movies. Oh, no. Did you freeze?
No.
No, you just got real still for a minute. You just got real still, and I was like, oh no, Tariq's frozen. Last week, we had a snafu where we almost lost all of Tariq's video. We actually uploaded a separate version of the episode that was Tariq's sketch. It was his, the drawing of himself, and luckily, Tariq was able to save the footage, and he re-edited the whole thing, the night before we dropped it.
Yeah,
it's very impressive.
I think it went up. Because, you know, when it goes up and then YouTube has to do, like, that check system thing. Yeah. I think they finished the check around, like, 8 a.m.
Oh, and shit. I posted it live at 8:30. I think, or you did you schedule it?
I think I scheduled it.
That's
and
so
I,
funny.
Like, man, see, because I, so after I edited it, I rendered it. I put it to render, and then it was gonna take like a minute to render. So I was like, okay. So I took like a nap, and I swear to God, I had a dream about the comment section. And I woke up in like sweat, drenched in sweat. Like I was like, all right, there's no way this is my life.
Oh, no.
Let me figure this out so I can like have actual sleep because this
That's
is ridiculous.
Funny.
Yeah.
Man, well, Stewie Griffin, the Untold Story. You got any other? We got anything else to talk about with this one?
No.
We didn't talk about the movie all that much. We talked about some parts of it.
Yeah,
but,
because
you know,
it really is.
It's not a movie.
Episodes of Family Guy.
Yeah. You know what's funny is like, I don't know if this is just because like that's kind of the vibe with Stewie is like the kind of thing is that he's always been like, oh yeah, he's like a gay baby, you know. but the whole plot about him like desperately wanting to get laid, I was like, this feels weird. Like I didn't, you know what I mean? I was like,
yeah.
I guess it's hard for me to picture Stewie with a woman for some reason, like, you know. And maybe that's just the like absorbing that vibe through osmosis of people being like, yeah, he's a gay baby, you know. It's like, and I was like, I'd seen this before, so like I should remember it. But yeah, I thought that storyline was sad. Old Stewie was sad, man.
Yeah, man, you saw like his crib and how like dirty it was when he walked in.
Yeah,
and
he just had no backbone. Chris is a cop.
Chris is a
fucking cop.
Chris is a cop. I didn't do the science, but Chris is definitely. Yeah. Chris is a cop.
Oh man,
can we call this episode "The Science of Family Guy" or something like that? We've been doing a lot of science.
The untold science of
the untold science. Stewie Griffin Untold Science. That's the name.
We did the science. It turns out this movie, just 3 episodes.
Yeah.
That's science. Man, well, let's talk about next week. I think we've decided we're going to do Beavis and Butthead Do America next week. I got one more week on this job and then I'm free. We're going to start doing seasons of TV again, probably jump back into Archer. But I'm excited because Beavis and Butthead is a show I've seen plenty of. I really like Beavis and Butthead. It's been a long time since I've watched Beavis and Butthead, though. And I remember loving Beavis and Butthead Do America. I remember it getting really fun and ridiculous, but I haven't seen it in like 15 years. You know, probably maybe a little less, but it's been a long time. So I'm eager to watch it. Excuse me. Hiccup. I'm eager to watch it again. And, you know, especially having just not really watched much Beavis and Butthead recently. Right. I'm eager to just like be like, all right, let's watch Beavis and Butthead to America. You know, like South Park, watching the South Park movie. I watched plenty of South Park, watching the Simpsons movie. I watched plenty of Simpsons, but I haven't watched Beavis and Butthead in years.
Yeah. So this would be different.
It's also going to be a weird show for us to cover. I don't know if you know.
Can you even find the original version of it?
Not as it. Well, I don't know if you can find it, but I know on DVD it does not exist in the format that it aired, and that's because of a lot of the music licensing things. There's so much of that show is just them doing commentary over music videos, which they were allowed to do because they're on MTV. Too. What's that?
I think like Daria licensing stuff with like music and
stuff. Oh, but I think with Daria though, it's literally like the music they used within the show.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That
that's
has
what
licensing
I mean.
Issues. Yeah, yeah. Whereas with Beavis and Butthead, it's basically little slices of stories and then they have these little segments where they comment over music videos that were on MTV at the time, and then they go back to these little stories. So the volume DVDs have almost entirely those little stories, and then I think a couple of music videos here and there that they could like get the rights to, but tons of that shit is just unairable because they don't have the rights to the music anymore. And so I hope, in fact, if anyone knows this would be a good thing to throw out, if Beavis and Butthead exists how it originally aired, please point us in the right direction, because I would like to have that, to
that'd
just
be pretty cool.
just for archive's sake, I would like to watch Beavis and Butthead as it existed. Even though I quite like a lot of the story stuff they do on Beavis and Butthead, I think it's funny. There's also a season of Beavis and Butthead that came out in like 2008.
Yes,
that is so funny. I think that season is so fucking funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's not only was the story stuff really funny. I remember the very first story was Beavis and Butthead in a movie theater, and they were watching Twilight Eclipse, and they just like showed some Twilight stuff up on the screen, and Butthead just goes, "Well, this isn't very good." That was just the first joke of new Beavis and Butthead. And then the other great thing they did in that season was that they never stopped watching MTV. So now instead of commenting on music videos, they're commenting on what was on MTV at the time, Teen Mom and Jersey Shore, like all of these reality shows that became MTV. And that was also funny. That was so funny to see them comment over that shit. And it was kind of a genius way to bring the show back. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, those characters just didn't really connect with, I guess, my generation, millennials. Beavis and Butthead is a very Gen X show. It's very much it feels like punk rock TV. It's like the generation they were raised on MTV, and then they were like, and now this show is making fun of MTV. You know what I mean? And now we get to find out how does Gen Z feel? What are they going to do for them? Because we're going to get Beavis and Butthead on Comedy Central, in a 2-season pickup. They got a 2-season pickup. They got more seasons off the bat than they did for that revival in 2008. And I'm pretty fucking eager to see what it is. But as for next week, we'll be watching the film Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Which I have to find to figure out. I bet you can buy it on YouTube or something. I'll rent it.
Is there a Blu-ray or something?
Let's look.
I wouldn't mind buying it.
I used to have all the volume DVDs of that show too. I should probably buy those. Budget only $12 million. That's bonkers. Jeez. Then and the box office was $63 million.
That's pretty good.
That's a successful movie. Let's see. Beavis and Butthead Do America. There is a DVD. There is no Blu-ray.
Okay.
There's no Blu-ray.
That sucks.
That upsets me. But you know what? I think I am going to buy all of these Beavis and Butthead volume DVDs. I had them before. I don't anymore. There's a complete collection DVD.
Ooh.
I think that's the move. That's the move. Anyways, let us know if we can find unaltered Beavis and Butthead anywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
I don't like the reiteration of anywhere.
I will watch it on Pornhub. I don't care.
I don't think you were there that day when we watched Ed, Edd n Eddy on Pornhub. But it's there. They had like the Christmas special on Pornhub, son. I was like, what are they doing? And then
so funny.
I can't believe I'm about to go on a Pornhub tangent. Somebody in my server, okay, I don't remember which one of y'all it was, if one of y'all are watching. Somebody in my server added me and sent me a link to a Charlie Brown Christmas on Pornhub. And I was like, oh, see, I think I'm pussy. Why would you send me that? Like, come on, man.
That's so fucking funny. Anyways, we should probably watch Beavis and Butthead Do America on Pornhub for next week.
That might be the best way.
That is so, so, so funny. My God. All right. Well, you got anything else to say before we sign off?
Nah, man. 3 episodes of Family Guy.
Yeah, and they were untold until they put them on DVD.
And then they told us.
So next week we do America. And with that, I want to say thank you to Michael Yunez for producing and editing this podcast. I want to thank Kerry Feek for our amazing artwork, which we are going to apparently put on t-shirts soon, alongside our soon to exist fuck hoodie. So yes. Look out for that. My mom's going to be real disappointed when my first piece of merch is just a hoodie that says fuck. Thank you to Jake Neutron for our incredible theme song. That is quite the earworm. Thank you to Toonrific Tariq, my good friend, for talking about Family Guy with me today. And also shoot the shit with me for like an hour and a half before we started recording.
Yeah,
that was nice. And thank you to you, the audience, for listening and watching. And if you like this podcast, rate, review, subscribe. Do all the business and leave a comment and tell us what you want us to talk about. And thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye now. Everybody do science.